Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
One of the things that I find very irritating when I'm on making a phone call to someone who has a small child is that the child is constantly interrupting. You must have that problem too, Val. What do you do about it?
Yes, I do have that problem, and I haven't quite found the solution. I think the solution is probably spanking. Even my 9-year-old was interrupting me on the phone just yesterday because she thought it was something I could point to without having to say anything to her. She was looking for something on my desk, and I was by my desk, and so she kept asking, "Where's the calculator?" And I was trying to talk to this person and trying to figure out where the calculator was, but I do not want my children interrupting me, so I know that what do you suggest I do with Elizabeth?
Well, it is a little late with Elizabeth, isn't it? She's 9 years old. It would seem to me that, as in all other matters of discipline, you need to start as early as possible to let the child know that you really mean what you say. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend that you stop the telephone conversation, hang up, in order to spank the child. You would say to the person on the phone, "Excuse me one moment," and turn to the child and say, "You must not interrupt me when I'm on the phone." Then you go back to the conversation. Presumably the child's not going to interrupt you again before the end of it. Your children, anyway, because they are relatively disciplined. But then, wouldn't it be best, when you have hung up the phone, then to take the child on your lap and say, "I've told you, you're not to disobey me. You are not to interrupt when I'm on the phone. You interrupted me. Now I must spank you." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would that be a way to deal with it sooner?
Yes.
And with Elizabeth, now at the age of 9, I'm not suggesting you spank her, but there would be some kind of punishment, you know, no dessert tonight or
right.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it as a necessity that the father and mother be united? Do you present a united front in disciplining your children?
Yes, I absolutely believe in that. My husband and I have to agree that the children have to be disciplined in a certain way, and that I would submit to him if he says they should not do something that I think would be all right, but I would say, "Let's find out what Daddy says." The question is often coming up, "Mama, can I go do this?" And I might say yes, usually going to visit a friend or something, but then I might find out from my husband that he had planned something for that night he hadn't told me yet, and he wanted to do something with the whole family. So I always say to them, "We'll check with Daddy first, and if it's all right with Daddy, then it's all right with me, and you can do it."
Well, Val, you sound as though you're a very strong person, and you've got it all together, and you're very organized. Of course, I know you better than that, but the way you're coming across perhaps to the listeners, they would say, "Oh, well, forget it, I'll never be able to get it together the way she has." What's your response to that?
I am not all together. I'm not as organized as I want to be. I'm not as disciplined as I want to be. My constant cry to the Lord is, "Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to teach the children and train them as you want me to. And please give me the strength and the will to follow through when I expect them to obey on something. Help me to follow through and correct them, punish them in the way that they should be punished." And I feel very, very weak, very inconsistent with the things that I know I ought to do, I don't always do. So I'm not as disciplined as people think I am. I have to ask the Lord constantly for help.
And it seems to me that that is the secret of your life, Val. I know that you are extremely vulnerable. I don't want to tell the people how many times I've talked to you on the phone and you've broken down, and I could hear the tears on the other end of the phone because some little thing, what I would think of as a little thing, had taken place. And you really feel very inadequate, and you ask me for advice. But I know that the primary source of your power is prayer and that quiet time that you have with the Lord. And that brings up another question. that so many young mothers feel is a real impossibility to have any quiet time. Now, do you have a fixed time of day which is absolutely sacrosanct that never can be varied?
No, I do not have a fixed time of the day. When I have my quiet time, it would be early in the morning before anybody is up. It seems that the Lord has recently given me maybe two mornings out of a week where I get up extra early and have an extra long time with Him to read and pray and think and maybe think through the schedule. And then there are many mornings when I don't get, even though I get up early, because of the baby or the two-year-old, because of their interruption, I don't get the quiet time in. And I have to, on those days, I have to pray, Lord, help me to be devoted to You throughout this day, even though I didn't get my devotions in, but to be devoted in all that I do and to always be looking up to Jesus to ask for His help and trust Him to be with me through the day.
And in the first chapter of James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. And I'm sure that that is certainly the source of your strength, what strength there is there, which certainly comes from the Lord. The scripture says that He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And that's a comfort to me so often, because it's my aim, too, to live an organized life and to have a set time for quiet and to be alone with the Lord. But God knows all about the interruptions. He knows about the things which have kept you up at night. If you have a sick child and you're up half the night, obviously you can't get up at the same time that you would normally get up and still have the strength to get through the day. So let's never forget that God is not a legalist.
Right.
And He is very much aware of the limits of our strength. So I would say to any women out there, young mothers who perhaps have not even tried to have a quiet time because they just feel that it's an impossibility, even 5 minutes is a source of strength, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it possible to take a nap in the afternoon, Val, when you have six children?
Yes, I do. I often take a nap. The children almost always have a quiet time after lunch where they are to read books if they don't sleep themselves, so that they read, and that's my time to get whatever done I need to get done then, or take anywhere from a 10 to 20 minute nap. And I guess I got into the pattern of doing that with one of the babies falling asleep for just a few minutes, and that gave me refreshment for the rest of the day.
Now, do you mean to say that in a family of six children that you can get them to be quiet for how long?
The two-year-old takes a nap usually. The rest of them can be quiet, or they can be playing while I'm in my room with the door closed. There's not too much noise.
But there was a time when you had what you called a quiet hour, wasn't there, when each child had to be alone in the room?
Yeah, it
and
doesn't
learn to occupy
it doesn't
himself.
Work in this house because they can't have a room by themselves. But yeah, I do make them read. At that time, they have to be reading books and not playing. Of course, the four-year-old doesn't read yet, but often I make him look at books, and so he's quiet for that hour.
One thing that's a revelation to me as the mother of one child, I suppose I imagine that if I'd had five children, they would all be carbon copies of you, Valerie, which is obviously ridiculous. I look at your six children, and I see tremendous differences in personality and temperament and abilities. And I've thought of how important it must be for the mother of more than one child to study and learn that child and recognize the particular gifts that God has given to that child. You have to really have a spirit of discernment and understanding in order to see the needs of that child, don't you?
Yes, and that's where I pray for wisdom all the time, especially for the girls. I feel that Walter is very much like me. I can understand him pretty well. The two girls are so different from each other and seem to be so different from me.
Older girls.
Yeah, I'm always asking the Lord for wisdom as to how to give them the right attention, what it is that they need. So I just trust God is giving me the discernment that I need. Sometimes I don't feel that I have it, but
would you say that some are tender-hearted and easily taught, more submissive than others? Have you found that true?
Yes, definitely.
So one punishment might work for one child that wouldn't work for another one. Would that be the case? You started out with generally the same method of punishment when they were small, didn't you?
Yeah, spankings all the time.
Now that
they're getting older, yeah, I would say I definitely have to use two different kinds of punishment for the two girls.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.